My guest is Kate Gary. What's going on, everybody? This is Highway Diary.
Is it always Highway Diary? Or
yeah, that's my podcast.
You know, I should have researched this fucking podcast. Where the hell am I? Oh, hello, Highway Diary.
You can take your seatbelt off, even though, we are parked. I'm not sure any high-impact collisions are going to take place.
I don't know. I'm in a stranger's car smoking marijuana. Don't do this at home, kids.
If you meet someone on the internet. No, we met each other at Thunder Goat.
That's right. You know Eric Wargo. He's a good guy.
And we're both on the self-indulgent podcast.
There you go.
So, you know, there's kind of, we know each other enough. what I like about you, you know, in researching all my guests, I always Facebook stalk them a little bit so I can get a sense of what they're into and stuff. And you have all these wonderful memes that you've made, which is a picture of you with a microphone.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some of your jokes, which I think is a great delivery method and a way for comedians to kind of get their shit viral.
How did
that get started? Where you make those memes, you know?
Well, Reddit has a subreddit called Stand Up Shots. Which is one of my Facebook friends started posting his. My first thought was, oh, this is like horrible self-promotion. What a whore. I would never do that.
Yeah.
And then I went there, and then people get a lot of followers that way. A lot of fans, a lot of people on Reddit, it's so national. You have locals. You're always going to find you. They go to your shows. So I realized, well, I should fucking do this. And the first joke I posted was the Doritos taco joke.
I didn't see that one.
Oh, it's a... I had a Doritos taco the other day, and it was a terrible experience.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, it's delicious, but... Ugh. You know, a Doritos taco is like a cock. It's, my mouth loves it, but my butt does not.
Mm.
So it's a little Shakespeare for you.
Wow.
So that did really well. That is still by far the most successful one I've ever posted was the first one. And it's all been downhill from there.
Yeah, I mean, you peaked early. I was labeled funniest boy in eighth grade, you know? And apparently that doesn't get you open a lot of doors in Hollywood, which is weird.
Yeah, you get a certificate for that or medal?
I got a certificate.
No way!
With a clown, but my name is too long, so it kind of runs off the paper. And when you put a frame on it, that gets clipped up. So, you know, so that's a little downside of it. But I got a certificate. It just says funniest boy. That is quite a credential.
Funniest boy, not funniest person. Period. Or funniest, not a man yet.
Well, that's true.
Eighth grade.
I peaked early, just like you with Reddit. So another thing that comes up a lot in your Facebook postings is you allude to being socially awkward a lot, which I think all comedians. There's like almost a diagnosis of the person, you know, psychological diagnosis. Every kind of comedian has social anxiety issues and stuff. And you posted this. I used to be so scared of people that I couldn't make eye contact, which just made things worse. I looked away when people looked at me, so I only see flashes of their faces. So when I pictured them in my head, they look like what happens when you pause a video when a character's mid-sneeze.
Yeah.
Everyone's motion blurry for you. You don't kind of get a thing on faces because you don't like to make eye contact with people.
Yeah.
Where do you think that comes from for you?
Because that's what it was like for the first 30 years of my life.
30?
Yeah. No, I was painfully shy. I would never talk to anyone. And I still have trouble making eye contact.
Right.
I try not, when I'm looking you in the eyes, I'm trying not to think I'm looking you in the eyes.
It's just too weird. Right.
Because you make eye contact, it's like, if you do it too long, it's like, are we going to fight or are we going to fuck, you know?
Right,
very awkward.
It's a lot of very socially charged.
Yes.
That eye contact, boom, two souls meeting, and you know what I mean?
And I was always holding it too long, which just so...
Yeah.
I guess it sends a signal to people.
Yeah.
I don't know. So
right. I think my social anxiety comes from a need to always feel entertaining. You know when you take a couple ear beatings from someone who does not care at all if what they're saying is entertaining, they're just blabbing at you?
Yeah.
I would get so angry that people would vampirize my time in this way that I developed anxiety and just put such a pressure on myself. Everything I say has to be entertaining.
Yeah.
And even when I cut this podcast down, I'm like, I just self-loathe anytime I say something that's a little bit boring.
Yeah, there's like 2 seconds where I feel like I'm not interesting. Yeah. I die a little bit inside.
Yeah, yeah. What?
I don't know where I got that from. I think My father would get on my mother because she tells these long, boring stories, like most women. Anyway, she was really bad about it, though. Like, she would repeat herself. So he would always be like, well, come on, what's the point? Yeah, we've heard this before. Why am I listening to this? So yeah. I just assumed everyone was like that.
You won comedyfilter.com. They do the comic of the month 1 month.
Yes.
Comedy Filter. Hey, they sound like they're looking at all the comedians, and they're Brita filtering out the shit.
Do you know who they are?
A little bit, since you posted about them.
Yeah.
And I got to know it a little bit.
Because you do research. I'm lazy. I have no idea. The first time I heard about them was when they made me Comic of the Month, and I have not heard from them since.
Right.
So are they legit? I don't even...
I was kind of hoping you would have that more of that answer.
Oh, my boyfriend, Robert Tran, is actually the current Comic of the Month.
Oh.
They allude to some vague nomination system. And then,
seems like it's a bunch of OC stoners now, I think.
Yeah, really?
I don't know.
No.
Well, if it's you and Robert Tran, then that's OC comedians. It seems like that would cast a not a nationwide search, if you know what I mean.
Right, yeah.
No, I mean, no offense, but I mean, both great comedians, but...
Oh, no, this is not national.
You guys have the same zip code, yeah? So it's like...
Yeah, no, it's I am Comedy Filter. I am. That's my website.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So there we go.
Yeah, you got me. Actually, I have no... If Comedy Filter's listening to this, I would love for you to clarify that.
What are your credentials, Comedy Filter? I'm just trying to do research, but...
Because you're trying to tell people I was the Comedy Filter Comic of the Month. They're like, oh, who's Comedy Filter?
And you're like,
I don't know.
Now I'm plugging these people? I thought they were helping me, you know?
It's diabolical. It's diabolical. I think it's Evan Cassidy, personally. But he seems like the kind of guy who would do that. And you know Evan, right?
I know. He's been on the podcast.
Yeah, he's diabolical.
So is Duke Fightmaster. And they're doing Pablo Steele right now. They're filming, right?
Yeah, it's a fucking awesome movie.
Is it done?
I think they're done with most of the filming. But yeah, just from what I hear from on set, it's absolutely amazing.
I'm really excited for that. That'll be cool to get an update. Anyway, you were raised in Virginia.
Yes.
Tell us about that, because you seem... But it says your parents were from New York, and they're like, ugh, I hate New York now. And so they moved to Virginia.
Yeah, my father's father was a very wealthy man. There's no money now. Spoiler alert. But he had these packaging plants. All over the country. My father went to the one to manage in Virginia. Mm-hmm. It was really like a sweatshop, honestly.
Everyone's got sweatshops in their past. If they're white two generations ago, it's all sweatshops and exploitation.
Yeah, and like we dumping toxic waste into the water supply.
Oh, great.
Like the city of
That'll make you a lot of money.
Yeah, it did for a long time until the city of Chico sued the company because they destroyed Chico's water. And
right.
Then now all the money's gone.
Oh, dear. So they were packaging things, and there's such volatile chemicals in packaging other things for other people?
Yeah.
They weren't manufacturing anything.
They used to make... do you ever have the bubble gum in an aluminum tube?
Okay.
It's aluminum tubes. Nobody uses them anymore.
No, I know.
By the way, but I remember being a little girl in my dad's office, and he'd give me an aluminum tube of bubble gum, and I was like, "Wow, this is awesome!" And then I've never wanted it since. So I guess that's why.
I didn't know about the backstory of all the people with brain cancer because the aluminum got in the water supply.
Yeah, it was blood
know?
Aluminum.
Blood,
like blood diamonds.
Oh yes, that,
blood
yeah.
aluminum. Blood for aluminum. Anyways, that's why he was there.
Isn't that how you get money out of the current system that we have? There always has to be some kind of death. It seems like the richest people are the warmongers directly involved in liquidizing people for cash. It just seems like that's just how it is.
They have money for a reason. It's because they're dirty, dirty thieves. It takes... And I have nothing but respect for business people. I know small business owners... But it's the Wild West out there at a certain point.
Mm-hmm.
So you just have to get the most advantage you can get away with.
Yeah.
It just encourages that. If you don't do that, you fail.
If you're selling skateboards and you have a skate shop, then you're actually like doing something for the economy. Or if you're like whittling your own chairs and selling them, it seems like that's the most, the best way to actually make something. But it seems like the people at the top, like, there's a certain level where all you're doing is trying to make algorithms to throw through the economy to rob everybody, and you pay for the best lawyers and politicians to make you throw that fucking financial boomerang that develops zero for anything, except you just take all the money from people who are actually have the skate shops or something like this.
Exactly. Like, money is the point system of a game we're all in.
Yeah.
But we don't know we're in it.
Yeah.
Certain people, it's like, have you seen the show Survivor?
Yeah.
The people who win are always the ones who play it fucking hard. They're not the ones who just wander around, like, oh, fuck this or fuck that, do some
They
dumb.
Have a plan, a ruthless plan.
They do. It
involves everyone else dying so that they can get the sandwich at the end of the maze, you know?
Well, they don't think they're doing that, but that's
it's
really,
just so
like,
crazy how it's real. Like, they set up like a Monopoly game with absolutely real consequences if you fuck up.
Yes.
To your own personal life and health and everything.
Like, have you seen Wolf of Wall Street?
No, I haven't
Wolf
seen
Wolf on
it.
Wall Street? I haven't seen it either, but apparently that's what it's about. I don't know, lead character's an asshole, goes
it just
to
seems
jail,
like
now
they,
he's fine and has an awesome movie out.
It just seems like they glamorize it a bit. Just like the mob, you know, Martin Scorsese glamorizes these fucking pigs, sociopaths who don't do anything except try to go, hey, and extort people.
And everyone
and then they glamorize it
everyone
into a movie.
Wants to be them. Like, well, the Walter Whites and the John Drapers, these sociopaths.
Because a movie about Mother Teresa going, oh, would you like more food? To a hungry person?
Boo! Nobody wants... You know,
Gandhi was the most boring movie I'd ever seen. You know, I felt like I read three books from sitting... It's 3.5 hours long or 4 hours long. Fucking Gandhi. Oh, my God.
You know, the actual Gandhi, the person used to enjoy getting and giving enemas. Was that in the movie? Because I didn't watch it.
I would have watched that part.
Yeah, see, they don't include the truth.
What do you mean? With like cayenne pepper? Or what was he putting in this?
I don't know the details. I mean, I just heard... I don't even know where I heard this, by the way. This is probably just a nasty
Didn't
rumor.
ComedyFilter.com start the enema rumor?
Did they? Oh!
They're always mysterious. You never
diabolical.
Know where their sources come from. You don't know who's running that shit.
They've actually done a study that if most people, if they hear something three times, no matter the source, they'll just accept it
Fact.
As true.
Yeah.
And then they won't even remember where they got it.
And that's how Hitler worked. Propaganda, man. You just show some rats eating cheese or scrambling, shitting on each other, and then Jews, and they're all of a sudden, you see that movie three times, you're anti-Semitic.
People are association machines at base. This is sad. I can't shit on them because I'm one of them too.
We're all idiots.
But I think comedians get anxiety about that because they observe it.
Yeah.
We kind of know how it works.
As a guy too, you know, just look at the internet is filled with just like giant tits that guys have to look at, like we're biological giant milky boobs, boom, advertisement for whatever, all of a sudden we're confused.
Hell, I see the boobs make me go boom too, and I'm straight, you
right,
know
right.
I would not have sex with a woman, I don't think, but
wait, have you had any kind of
I kissed a girl in college, which I don't like to talk about because it sounds like what all women say.
Right.
Because it's true, yeah. You
right.
If for no other reason, because men give you attention for doing that. So you get too drunk one night, and you're like, oh, well, I'll just kiss Allison.
And then everyone sees it.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Then, oh, this lady, she's a go-getter.
That's right, yeah.
So let's talk about the Power Couples podcast.
Yeah.
With your boyfriend, Robert Tren, who also, Comedy Filter filtered him out.
The reigning champion.
So you guys are both award-winning for a month. Power Couples podcast. How did that get started, you know?
I don't know. Robert and I, you wouldn't know this from the podcast, but we actually have very fascinating conversations with each other that we being egomaniacs that we are, felt other people would enjoy or get something out of, hence the Power Couples podcast, which I'm not
So what do you guys talk about? Is it political or?
We just kind of have a vague idea of things we want to talk about and then we talk about it. Yeah, like sometimes it's political, often it's about like racism, like stupid white people and what they do, or if I'm mad at some feministy thing. That was the plan anyway. We never actually did that. We would just talk about bullshit and have arguments. We almost broke up.
Oh,
Yeah. A week and a half ago. Yeah, again.
This happened more than once.
Most of our arguments, at some point, it escalates to you asking if I want to break up with you.
Yeah, yeah. I decided to give the option. Yeah.
Does it kind of devolve into couple bickering sometimes?
One time, our last episode ended with a giant fight.
I'm being authentic. I was just telling you, like, I wasn't giving you stage directions. I was
good. No, I like this. Keep going.
I'm the one that has to edit this together. And I listen to it more than you, because you work. So I have more invested in this. Like, we both want it to succeed, but that's the reason I was giving you kind of, like, this, you know, whatever. I'm the one that puts it online. I'm the one that labels it. You're the one that kind of has more people. So you have that aspect.
But I did have more people.
You do, but I'm saying, like, that's why I was giving you stage directions. I didn't know why you were being so difficult about it. What? What? Are you mad now?
We might need to fuck this one out.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Fuck this one. What do you mean?
You know, sex.
Oh, well, we had sex earlier.
Yeah, I guess we have to pencil it in for tomorrow. Just let this tension build through a nice rage encounter.
People liked it. It was our highest rated episode.
What were you guys arguing? Well, holiday time, you know, that always gets stressful. You have to spend thousands of dollars for, you know, these people who leave you passive-aggressive emails known as your parents, you know?
Yeah.
All of a sudden you have to, you know.
We were arguing about the podcast because neither of us knows what we're doing. And I apparently was sitting too close to the mic, and Robert kept, like, physically pushing me back, which right. I found irritating because who knows if he's right. He's paranoid I'm being too loud and physically moving me. I'm trying to talk about whatever bullshit we're talking mm-hmm. about. So I got irritated. And Robert, if he feels like I'm mad at him, will try very hard to address it right away and to deal with it. But I didn't want to deal with it on the podcast because we're having a podcast. You got to keep it professional. So it just became whether or not...
Keep it fun. Keep it right. with the yucks, you know?
Right. So it just became this argument about whether we should continue with this argument because people will probably like it, or if this is horribly unprofessional, we should stop. Oh, I thought we were answering.
No, you answered it.
I just feel a little overstage directed on this one.
Really?
A little bit. Yeah, I don't know where you're drawing these wild conclusions about how far or close... You don't even have headphones on. How do you know?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I think it's smart. I just think that if you think about it too much, you're gonna fuck yourself up. Are we still fighting?
Okay, so you posted this to Facebook, another thing that I like your politics here. It kind of comes out in between. It's hard to explain Miley Cyrus's behavior to kids. You know what else is hard? Explaining why we're in an endless war and all we have to show for it is bureaucrats reading our emails. People persecuted for illegal wiretaps and vague assurances that there will be even worse if we don't send killer robots to Pakistan. By all means, explain to our kids why twerking on a bear's face is wrong. I love this.
Yeah, I love I fucking love that one too. I'm laughing at my own jokes. I'm kind of a fucking idiot.
I feel very strongly.
I don't follow the news closely, so because I'm just discouraged. So the things that bubble up to the top, I know that's like something that the nation is crazy about. And
yeah,
that was one of them.
But it seems like the nation is crazy about this because news sources owned by the same companies who own the drone killing bombs, like mm-hmm. the top companies, and it gets down to like a dozen men in a fucking Bohemian Grove jerking each other off in robes or whatever, while like a baby is crying for supper later. You know, these guys are going, oh, while we drop all these drones, liquidating robots to Pakistan, like, and wonder whether, we're going to tell everyone, you know what's important? Miley Cyrus and whether or not her twerking on a bear's face is, so that's like the distraction.
Right, what about the children?
Yeah, what am I going to tell my kids? I don't know, how about... Educate yourself. Don't be so stupid.
Yeah.
And then your kids won't be.
You know, the thing is, the drone program, that really I find horrifying.
Yeah.
Like beyond words.
Yeah.
What people don't realize is it's not like the other side's just going to lay over, like fall over and die. That's not what they do. They've been fighting for centuries and they hold grudges. And eventually, one of them is going to figure out, like with 9/11, they're going to figure out a way they can really get to us. And they're going to do it. And that is...
I find it...
Okay, why wouldn't they?
This is the way I see the drone program. When an old man has an adversary and they want to kill them, they'll use assassins, right? Now, unless they're very brainwashed assassins, they might be somewhat political on themselves. And now every opposition to the Gestapo gets assassinated, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these 12 old guys can just go, beep, beep, I want this drone to kill this guy. Beep. Now you don't even have an assassin who's going to go, no. And, yeah. And then three of these kind of rich assassins know how to get to this Gestapo. And then they, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it just seems like when they every American, and Obama has legislation where Americans can get killed by drones. So that means any...
Yeah, but we're not talking about white people. We're talking about...
Are we, though?
The technical Americans.
Are we, though? A lot of journalists get their brakes snipped.
The death of journalist Michael Hastings in a fiery crash early Tuesday morning is raising questions because of his coverage of powerful figures in the U.S. military.
3 years before this horrific car crash took his life, journalist Michael Hastings wrote an award-winning but still controversial article about General Stanley McChrystal for Rolling Stone. The runaway general quoted the commander of U.S. forces in Afghanistan making disrespectful remarks about Vice President Biden and other civilian leaders that ultimately ended the general's army career. Hastings' penchant for unvarnished criticism of military authorities clearly evident when he and Pierce Morgan discussed the sex scandal involving another discredited general, McChrystal's successor, David Petraeus.
I think there's many other reasons Petraeus should have resigned besides who he's sleeping with that's not his wife.
Now, conspiracy theories about Hastings' death are spreading online, especially after this tweet from WikiLeaks reading Michael Hastings contacted WikiLeaks lawyer Jennifer Robinson just a few hours before he died, saying that the FBI was investigating him.
Then, you know...
Is that true?
A lot of them, yeah, for sure. He had this BMW, and then it was droned, like, his OnStar machine in his car got hijacked. And some old guy was going, beep, 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 and now you die. And
is
then his
true?
Fucking car went off the road. I swear
he's
to God.
He's dead?
Yes. And he,
why haven't
he was,
I heard about this?
Well, because you're wondering why Miley Cyrus is twerking on a bear.
Oh, my God. That makes me physically ill if that is
But
true.
This is what the drone, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not worried about terrorists getting the drones. I'm worried about the sociopaths who are actually in control.
Yeah. It is,
having them.
It is unsportsmanlike.
Yes.
There is something about, I think, all humans share that looks at that and is disgusted.
Yes.
That is, it's
and in
way
this
too
actual
much.
Real Game of Thrones where people have where there's starvation and the super rich kind of can choose who does die in
yes.
reality. If they have access to drones as well, it's like now when we point to the vampire, they can't just be shot in the head. I don't know. This is kind of revolutionary.
No, well, because, you know, this country is run by
yeah.
very few people.
Yes.
And it's not the people you think it is either.
Yeah.
They're not accountable to the public. I have no idea who they are. Apparently, oil is very important to them.
Yeah.
Because that's been a major priority.
Yeah.
I don't want those people to have that much power. We need a balance of power somewhere.
I'm
and
so disgusted every time I see, like, Hillary Clinton, like, pays journalists to be like, Hillary, are you going to run in 2016? And she's like, what?
You're never going to run for president again?
I have absolutely no interest in running for president again. None.
2 years ago, you said the exact same thing in Australia.
You said, talk about the future, you said you're not running for president in 2012 or 2016. What about 2020?
And yet, in the past few days, a PAC called Ready for Hillary has been launched. Can you still say with a straight face that you have, that there's no way you would consider running for president?
Sitting here right now, that is certainly what I believe, and I am, you know, still the Secretary of State, so I'm not in politics. I'm going to be focusing on my philanthropy, my charities, my writing and speaking.
Oh my God, like, she just acts like she didn't give that guy $5,000 to ask her that question. You know what I mean?
I'm not sure. Is that legal?
But she's always, she's has these like, are you in for Hillary for 2016? Click this meme on Facebook, advertised supported. So, yeah, you know, she's paying the robots of the internet, speaking of robots, to...
Hillary Clinton is a bit of a robot herself.
Mm-hmm. And how plugged in is she to whatever the hell is going on up there?
I think she's pretty plugged in. That would be why I would vote for her, just because I think she knows enough of the real people that it's better than not knowing anyone.
I don't know anyone.
I saw House of Cards. I know how the government runs.
See, the only politicians I trust are the ones who go, in here, everything is fucked. Do you know how crazy these... And Ron Paul seems to be the only one who kind of has that tone. This other guy called Mike Gravel is like... The Pentagon Papers, everyone is a fucking crook in here. Those are the guys where I'm like, yes, god damn it. If no one's, if you aren't saying that, if you're going, everything's fine and we're going to pull
it. Oh my god. Gonna,
then you are just, and I think she's one of those ones.
Well, that she,
I don't think she's rallying about the corruption. I think she's corrupt.
Oh, she is. Yeah. But maybe she's not as corrupt as the others. You know, the lesser of two evils. From the belly of the beast.
Is it just because it would be the first woman president?
Yeah, okay, that's... If she were a guy, I wouldn't give a shit. like, whatever, Benghazi, who cares? That's actually been debunked, by the way.
Benghazi?
Not true.
I do not know what that is.
Well, for those of you who do, I just want to tell you, it is not true. I read that on the internet.
Commiefilter.com. Strange sources they have.
Yeah, this is me campaigning for Hillary.
All right. Well, we're on the opposite sides of the fence on that issue.
Oh, you're Ron Paul. Ron Paul.
Yeah, kind of.
Oh, isn't he? He's racist, isn't he?
No.
He wrote something about how African American men are fleet of foot.
Well,
He called them Africans or fleet of foot.
Yeah, and that was in the, 1980s or whatever.
Oh, so you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, so you're smooth that over.
Okay, well, he was...
I didn't notice.
That was an article in a... he had, like, a political journal at the time, and that was an article in it. He didn't write that article, but that article appeared in a letter that he was running.
Oh, so that's kind of like in House of Cards. Have you seen House of Cards?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that kind of happened there, right?
Like, I only saw the first season.
Oh, me too. But, some guy wanted to be in some position.
Right.
And he got discredited and couldn't, and was just thrown out because somebody misattributed a letter to him.
Mm-hmm.
I think that happened. That show's very complicated.
He was also doing really good in the polls, and then Fox News just like... made it like he was not in second place everywhere, like when he was running.
You know, that is true.
They would just completely avoid talking about the fact that he was in the race.
He started speaking against the war.
Yeah.
It was around that time.
Yeah, and so, you know, do you think that the people who own Fox News don't also, like, that's not just, like, the PR campaign of their war effort?
No, I agree. I don't think he's the only one that's happened to, though.
Yeah.
Like Bernie Sanders doesn't get much media attention at all. The only reason he got any attention for his campaign against the taxes for the wealthy is because he filibustered.
Mm.
That was the only time.
And I
really
like Bernie Sanders too. And I like Bernie Sanders is like a socialist senator from Vermont. Ron Paul is a libertarian. They couldn't be different politically. I like both of them. I also like Dennis Kucinich. Anyone who goes, who just screams bloody murder, I am a fan of, because that's what I would do. I would just, you know, if you want to look at, like, if you're a congressman and you want to look at, like, what's going bad with the government, you have access to all those files.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not a lunatic in 4 days, you're a robot.
But the ones who can speak that freely aren't connected. That's the problem.
Right.
So if one of those did get elected, and I think Obama kind of had this problem. He was a little too outside, because that's why Congress didn't work with him.
Mm-hmm.
They just didn't.
I don't know. I think every single congressman is sponsored by a different company competing for, you know, global dominance.
But how many different companies do you think it is that puts in, like, that owns most of the politicians? Probably very few.
six. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, like Boeing, like the war munitions companies and the oil companies, basically.
Anyway, this has been very political here. You also posted this to Facebook. Being pretty is like eating an invincibility star in Super Mario's. You go far without much effort, but you're screwed if you don't have a backup plan when it wears off.
Man, a lot of very pretty girls did not like that joke. I'm shocked.
Yeah. And it is weird where you see, like, people at, like, girls at certain ages when they turn 50. Like, okay, so I worked on this thing called Pets of the Rich and Famous, and the person who ran that was, like, a Barbie doll trophy wife, but now she's, like, 50 or something. Oh, but no. Every year, like, when I showed her, when we showed her a cut of what we put together, me and Anna Florett, we edited it, and I produced it, and we made this thing for her called Pets of the Rich and Famous. When I showed it to an actual executive producer I knew, he was like, this is like the Cat Ladies of Beverly Hills. Like, and it's true, because like all her friends like kind of have cat hoarding issues and like emotional problems that we kind of filmed about this. We had like a pet psychic. It was just the most...
Oh my God!
It was the most ridiculous reality show ever.
It's like Best in Show, right?
Yeah, but it was more about how crazy the people were when you actually watched it, you know?
Yeah, Real Housewives of Orange County is a real good mirror.
Yeah. Oh, when we showed her a cut, she was like, oh, I don't like my face in that shot. I don't like my face in that shot. I'm like, that's your face, lady. And first of all, you didn't have a makeup person because you were too cheap for that. So it's like, what do you want from me? This is the footage we have. And so then she just got a facelift after we shot it. And that was like and I think she was like trying to bury it because that was before her facelift.
Did she look better with the facelift?
Maybe, but it's like, yo, how many times can you have a doctor put his foot on the back of your head and pull your skin back, you know? Like,
it's
at a certain time, you have to just age with dignity. It's going to happen.
But looks, that's all they had.
Yeah.
That just got them so many.
Clinging to this thing.
They did not develop other parts of a personality.
Yeah. Like, so her power, her survival came from, like, she's a trophy wife to this doctor.
For now, until he puts her aside.
Yeah.
She's got to be worried about this.
Well, that's why she's got to model up her face every year, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just that she is not smart enough at this juncture because her brain has gone to pot, basically.
Not blame pot. Hold on a second.
They don't know why they lost it.
Yeah.
But they just hate themselves for it.
Yeah.
It's very toxic.
It's like her survival mechanism was her power over men with her looks. And so for her survival, she wants to hang on to this doctor guy. And I remember the saddest thing I ever saw was after we filmed. We were filming for 12 hours one day. And afterwards, she's still wearing a full, like, ridiculous gown.
Yeah.
She's still in her attire. And she's sitting at the kitchen table watching him eat fried chicken that she had grabbed on her way back from filming. Because she was the wife, and she had to watch him...
Oh, my God.
...eat his dinner and give him company for his dinner. So, like, he could care such a little shit about the project that she was making...
Yeah.
...that he still was just... this 70-year-old doctor man just slowly eating fried chicken.
Yeah, he hasn't had an erection in 5 years. I mean, who can blame
his
him?
Eyes are going to shit every year anyway. Like, you can't see her anymore.
Yeah, but she hates herself and doesn't feel sexy, so there's no sex happening.
Oh my
at that
God.
Point
it was
I have deep sympathy for women like that. Actually, I don't think they mean it. They're horrible people now, but they were kind of made that way.
And, you know, I didn't get any money, but I got an IMDb credit of executive producer for this crazy woman's trophy reality show thing to herself that she hated afterward because her face wasn't right. You know what I mean? It's like...
she hates herself,
and
yeah.
So, and didn't have real motivation to do anything really afterward about it or try and sell it or anything like this. But, so it's just like... I don't know. But she was, like, a terrible person.
Yes.
And was, like, rude to, like, every food order we had.
Yep.
Like, I grabbed lunch and she's like, this turkey's dry. I'm like, I'm the executive producer. I'm fucking worried about this shit, not your dry turkey, lady. Like, she was
a
monster to be around.
She was the center of attention for a long time.
A monster.
You know, because I only recently started taking care of my appearance at all. So, like, I get the hair done now, and I went to facialist, so the pizza face went away, and I wear makeup, and which right, I used to do none of this. So now, it was like, overnight, I went from everybody ignoring me where I worked to everybody says hi, for no reason. Like, I wasn't the one who initiated it all. Right. It's like, suddenly they saw me.
Right,
so
right,
it
right.
is powerful, and I'm sure. very wary of it. Because I know it's not going to last forever because right. I was not the other side before.
But you got so much else going on. Like, you know, when you age gracefully, I'm sure because you're smarter and stuff, you know.
I know. I developed good coping. Like, I've been married. I'm divorced. You know, I'm financially independent.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I did hear that on the Self-Indulgent podcast. You talk about that. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I guess. So my ex-husband is with his girlfriend on a cruise right now. Not mm-hmm. that bothers me.
But you do know about that.
I do know. Isn't that weird? Like, with your exes, you just, whenever you hear anything about them, there's this little part of you that dies inside.
Right.
Or is that just me?
Oh, great. This person commented on this photo. Who's that? You know, like.
Right. And even though I don't want to be with him anymore.
Right, I know.
This. We've grown apart. He's happy. I'm happy. But there's still that, like, oh, he's comparing me to her and finding me lacking.
Right.
You know, does that happen to you?
I think that sometimes that itch, that when I've had breakups, that has been the biggest motivator to me. I remember Jay Moore told a story where he was like, his ex-wife, literally, he got on a sitcom where there was a billboard of his face outside her window, like 50 feet tall.
Oh, God.
And really, like, being in entertainment and stuff, and, you know, aspiring to be a, you know, stand-up comic and all that stuff, and, you know, doing all that, working the grind, like, that just motivates me. Whenever I have a breakup, I'm like, and I had a breakup a couple months ago, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to win a fucking Oscar. I'm writing this shit right now. You know?
Are spiteful.
Yeah.
Because you want them to have that feeling, like Skater Boy by Avril Lavigne.
Nothing else motivates me. Nothing else.
Yeah, I can't lie. I kind of want every person I've been with to rue the day, you know?
Right.
I don't even know why I like them. I'm friends with most of them.
But I think it's like you take your demons that are roaring around your brain and you fucking saddle them to a purpose and you go, you know?
Right. It's therapeutic. It's healing. It'll balance the scales in my convoluted logic.
Otherwise, like, I don't think that your pain or incidents that happen in your life that suck mean anything if you don't learn from them.
Right.
You know, and I think some people become alcoholics from getting dumped or whatever for their whole life. They're like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I was a wreck for about 2 years. I've only recently just stopped. Because my first breakup was my divorce. I've not been through that process at all. Plus, it was a divorce. So can imagine.
Legal weight to it.
Yeah, you can imagine the therapy I had to go through. I'm on medication now, much better.
Oh, okay.
So I'm a big fan of Better Living Through Chemistry.
There you go. I'm obviously a fan of that. I smoke a lot of mine, but, you know. I've also put this on Facebook. A comedian joked that women always win arguments because they throw tantrums until they get what they want. Like a spoiled children who freak out until their shitty parents cave in. What got me was that women in the audience cheered. Oh, ladies, God. Can we please stop applauding when we're being insulted? Even if you think arguing like that is cool, you're not actually winning just because you're being appeased by someone who resents you. Motherfucker!
That's harsh.
But I think it's so deep, too. I love this shit.
Yeah,
you know, and that's also social anxiety. We don't talk as comedians because we see the shit that pops out of everyone's head covering for their own bullshit and all the time. You're calling that shit out.
It's true, because we can do that. Women can do that. We have a very important, we have the Trump card, whether it's spoken or not.
Right.
And you guys cave.
Right.
We can rely on that. Mm-hmm. And it's terrible. I wish you guys wouldn't do that, because then we'd stop.
And you think that, just like the pretty girl card that can only get punched too many times in a lifetime, and then it starts to fade out after some time. Like, you need to rely on more mature skills.
Right. So it's kind of your men's fault. No, for real. If all you guys did was check it more often, because women don't check each other very well. We're terrible at it. Right. We pretend everything's fine, or we hate each other. It's very disturbing. So we kind of need you guys to help with
that. To check shit. Call out bullshit when we see it.
It's terrible, and it sounds very sexist that, oh, you men need to check women's bullshit. But, like, women, we check your bullshit already. I think. Like, and it's good that we're there, but you guys aren't doing that for us.
Right.
So, really, it's just fair.
Just, you know, I had a breakup a little while ago, so that's what I'm thinking about. But it was, like, one time where we were walking through Bed Bath & Beyond, right? And she's like, oh, you know, I'd like this, but I couldn't afford that. Oh, I like this. And, like, I didn't check it, and I wasn't, like, I didn't get her anything. I'm not going to just spend $100 when I wasn't expecting it out of nowhere, you know?
Yeah.
But it's, like, because I didn't want to start an argument because I knew that kind of sex was going to come up.
Yes.
So I was like, I'm going to keep quiet, keep it peaceful.
Yeah.
But I think if I did check it there, then it would have actually worked out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Instead, because I just didn't say anything because I wanted sex, and then boom, I'm in trouble.
Right. Anyway. And it's because there's this, you don't trust that we'll forgive you, or that it will come back, because we care.
We
about
just
you.
Want you guys
no
in a
trust.
Good mood.
Yeah.
And we don't care about anything except you're in a good mood, then we'll get it later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's spoiling children. There's no other way to put it.
The problem is we're like addicted, you know, to sex, and so it's like you're like a crack dealer, and we're just like itching heroin addicts going, yeah, whatever, man, whatever, I'll do anything. Hey. Just talking crazy. That's how you know, that's our burden. That's our crust to bear.
Women get pretty horny, too, but we just have more issues about it, because it's been beaten out of us from a very young age.
The guilt and the shame.
Yeah, so it's just, it's like we're dead inside there. But it does come out. It does. And when it does, it's very strong.
Right.
So you just have to trust if the relationship is strong, eventually she'll come around.
Right. This is something I remember recently, like about guilt and shame and stuff. I was raised Catholic. I remember one time some woman came in and she talked about getting an abortion. And she was like, oh, and I now I'm in like women's therapy where we name all of our children that we aborted.
Oh, my God.
And we pretend. And it's like every week you're rehashing this trauma. Like, you're not talking to like therapists who can actually like let you grieve and get over it and realize, you know, that's in the past and whatever. And, you know, other people have stories where when I had a kid, then, like, you know, my life really went upside down because I couldn't afford to, you know, all this and stuff.
Right.
So, and all the sacrifice that has to go in because someone had a kid when they weren't expecting it, you know. It's like, that's another story that she could have told, but... And also, she did it, and then she's saying, now I realize that other people shouldn't get abortions.
Oh, no, good.
You can't handle it, and you did it, too.
She shouldn't have gotten an abortion. She regrets getting it.
But that
has nothing to do with me.
Nothing to do with anyone else.
Yeah.
And why are you legislating when you're going to rehashing trauma week every day? You know, when you're going to once a week talking to other women going, oh, I can't believe we did this. That is just, you're becoming a victim every week.
They get positive attention for it.
Ugh.
So, because nobody, there's no positive attention if you get an abortion. Like, even among those of us who are totally cool with it.
Wow, you got aborted! An abortion!
See, like, I don't know if people have casually dropped in the conversation they've had an abortion, so I haven't had a chance to be excited about it or not.
Mm-hmm.
But I like to think I would be. Like, if I needed to get an abortion, when I do...
You want to have a cake and
I'm
going to
be open. I'm going to be open about it, and I'm going to see... And not even, like, crude. Just like, hey, I'm having an abortion. I want to do this ritual so I feel better about it.
Ritual?
Like a dead fetus shower. I don't know.
Where it's in a jar in formaldehyde in the middle of the room on a coffee table.
Something tasteful.
And everyone gives you presents of what they would have got or something.
Exactly, except, like, hacked to pieces and dead.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess my opinion of abortion, especially like the very early ones, like where you're on top of your shit and you catch it and it's just a little dot, you know, and then you just zap it and it's gone. Not controversial to me at all.
Are there laser abortions?
Well, I guess what they actually drones they do that suck
from
it
like
out.
A satellite.
Oh, yeah, yeah, maybe I'll just start speaking against the government when I need an abortion. But that is what we just said is so horribly and deeply offensive to some people. And it just boggles my this disconnect that we have. Maybe they're right.
And also, it's like we're laughing about it, so that's our experiences. We're having a good time right now.
Yeah.
If someone else cries and about it and then writes a letter to some editorial, that is your experience. You are crying. You can't emotionally handle something. That's got nothing to do with us.
Right. Yeah, because people mistake me with everyone.
Right.
Because they're the center of the universe.
It's like, what a narcissist you are that, my emotion about this is so, even though we're having a good time with it. Anyway.
Right, or that it's not doing anyone any harm, Like, it's not going to convince people who are not going to have an abortion to get one because we're being assholes.
Yeah, yeah.
We're just doing our own thing.
But what do you think about people like Tosh making a rape joke or whatever, and then Daniel Tosh, and then all these bloggers getting all upset, yeah. And then it gets into the media like, oh, this is a hate crime.
The greatest sin Daniel Tosh committed was that he wasn't funny. As far as I'm concerned, I've heard great rape jokes. I believe there are more great rape jokes that could be made. Uh-huh. No problem with it. But it wasn't funny, and he had a bit of malice behind it too. He wasn't joking in a sense, which is why it wasn't funny.
Right.
And I guess I heard the woman was being kind of cunty. I don't know. Maybe she deserved it. I wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can see people use it as an opportunity to have this conversation, to, complain about. And rape culture, we talked about rape culture for, a month afterward. No one even knew what rape culture was before that.
Oh, a feminist wrote the words rape culture, and then we had rape culture. That's what happened.
It does seem, I think the language is very extreme, but it highlights a point. Which is just men are very aggressive sexually and women aren't ready for it quite often, so they get all fucked up about it.
Right.
And they would prefer that not happen.
And also adolescence, everyone growing up now is growing up with the internet and every, just like any drug, like pornography, I think is a drug. Mm-hmm. And where when you used to have to smoke, let's say half a bowl to get high, now you have to smoke 3 joints. Before, you could just, see side boob in high school, and then, then all of a sudden, that would drive you fucking nuts. And then, when you have the access to see the crazier and crazier and crazier, I've been open about the podcast on this. I think I broke my dick on pornography, I can't, get off until I see, the Twin Tower footage these days. You know what I mean? You have to see crazier, more and more depraved things.
You're not alone in that, there are support groups of, I'm not even kidding, there are support groups of men who are dealing with that problem.
Yeah. And I'd be what are the keywords you used? Interesting. I'm definitely not going to look at that later.
Yeah. They're like cautionary tales. What they say? You should just not masturbate for a month.
Yeah, every time I get a girlfriend, then I go cold turkey on the porn, and then I try to reset my dick.
Does it work?
Yeah. Okay. I can reset it, but
reboot it.
You gotta reboot your dick.
It's true. But I guess if you can't get a girlfriend and you would like to continue being able to get yourself off, you just, you're celibate for a month.
Right, right, right.
Could you do that?
Could I be celibate?
Yeah.
If I had to, and if I thought I was going to attain some kind of spiritual enlightenment.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's like that episode of Seinfeld. They all get smarter.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's talk about some more of your memes. And some rape jokes that you made. Ready?
Yeah.
In high school, I learned that if I get raped, I should never yell rape because people will ignore me. They'll run to help if I yell fire instead. After all, a fire might damage something they actually care about. How messed up is that? I was told to lie if I wanted help. But if I got raped at a crowded movie theater, it's illegal to yell fire. So I would have had to choose between being arrested for being ignored. Unless the movie was Grown Ups 2, in which case yelling rape would be applauded as sharp commentary.
Oh man, that I love a lot the first. I love the first half. The second half is hack, in my opinion. Because I was reaching for like what reference can I? I haven't even seen that movie. I don't know if it's bad.
Right.
I hate it when I have jokes where I have to like, oh, I need to fill this in somehow. Let's lie.
Yeah, but at the core, you're kind of saying, look. What do comedians hate? Other people wasting other people's time with being not entertaining.
Yeah.
And that comes from that social anxiety thing we were talking about earlier, where it's like, no, you are raping my time when you are boring.
It's a violation every second. Yeah. And I think that's most people.
And I can feel myself getting older when certain people are talking, where it's just like, no more. I've been listening for 5 minutes. I don't know, have any information.
Like, you get that cosmic fear deep in your gut. They're like, this, you could die right now, and this would have been the last thing you remember.
Yeah.
it's so infuriating. But the thing I loved about posting that joke is that I guess a lot of people didn't know that that's what girls are taught.
Yeah.
That you should yell fire.
I was taught that in health class or whatever, when all the girls and guys got together at the, like, the last year in fifth grade or whatever, and they talked about, men have penises or whatever. That was one of the things that came up. Yell fire if you see... I was instructed, if I see a rape, to yell fire for more help. It's a very...
Really?
What is this institutional lie was written by vampires who now have drone access? Anyway,
well,
what
apparently,
do you think?
It's effective what they're talking about, because people don't respond when you say help, and they really don't respond if you say rape, because who wants to run into a situation that's dangerous? Nobody wants to. So, yeah, genuinely, like, fire is, at least that's exciting, if nothing else. Like, you'll run, oh, where's the fire?
Right.
Oh, shit, this woman's being raped. I guess I'll help her while I'm here. I'm not saying that's right, but that it is, at least for the 1980s or 90s or whenever I learned that. Though I guess in the 2000s, they made a whole movie called Just Yell Fire. So, I don't know.
So weird.
Still teaching that.
It is weird, though, that they tell you that to make that lie.
Yeah, and there was no examination of it either. It's like, I just yell fire. And we were like, yeah, that makes sense. No one wants to yell they're being raped. Like, I don't know.
Is there
like...
such, like, sex shaming that you can't go, very specifically, you need to be equipped with the following instruments to beat this guy because he's raping me.
Yeah,
a lead
right.
pipe. I think if I knew I was going into a rape, it's... When a guy's having sex, he's very vulnerable to attacks, I'd say. You know what I mean?
So, yeah.
I don't know.
But if you yell rape, maybe he'll kill you. Or, I don't know. It's just, it's dirty. I don't want people to know someone's violating my vagina. Like that's none of their business.
So I just scream that in a movie theater?
I don't know what I would do. I'm glad I've never been raped. I thank goodness for that. Not in any sense, not even a serious, like, a date rape at all.
Right.
One minor molestation when I was little, but I'm fine. I'm not afraid of men for that reason. But I know women who are genuinely fearful of men for that.
I gotta say, I was molested pretty recently for the first time ever.
Really?
I was bar hopping in San Francisco with my sister. And, I was getting a beer at the bar. I was like, and this guy sitting at a bar stool just went honk, just honked my dick, and then put his hand back like nothing happened, right?
How did that make you feel?
A lot went through my head in a second. Where I was like, my first instinct was maybe I should elbow him in the fucking forehead. Because I've been training Muay Thai. I don't know. I always brag about it every day. But so I was thinking, I could just crack him. And then I was thinking, do I want to knock out a guy in a bar and then be like, who didn't... I was like, if he is happy with that, I don't really care.
Yeah, plus, if you knocked him out, you would have had to explain why.
Exactly.
Yeah, you would have had to say, he touched my dick.
That's like, I wouldn't
want
to yell rape.
Yeah.
Loud, have everyone know someone else is entering me. That's embarrassing.
Yeah, even though, like, you... Just his having touched your dick, you having nothing to do with it, that's shameful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I was like, whatever.
Get over it.
Whatever. I'm not gonna, like, go to a support group every week and like, name the child that could have came out of me or whatever.
But, I don't know, I think, I guess it is worse with men. I like to think men don't get raped as often, but I don't know, because I don't think you guys would tell.
Your other thing about grown-ups, too, is, like, if you're yelling rape during Grown Ups 2, that the joke there is, like, your time is being raped, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think the first one was one of the worst movies ever. Like, why make a second? Oh, the sequel's going to be so much better.
Yeah, well, it's like Batman 2, The Dark Knight, much better than, you know, Godfather 2.
You think they learned what they were doing on the first one?
Yeah, Empire Strikes Back, Wrath of Khan. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it just takes one to figure it out.
All right, let's have another one of your memes, because I love these. I think it's funny when men say that they're in the friend zone, like they've been condemned to a cast of unfuckables as punishment for being nice to women. The friend zone is a guy thing. Women don't put so much effort into organizing the hordes of mandom we're not banging that we need to map out a football field to keep it straight. Fucking a guy might stop us from being friends, but being friends has never stopped us from fucking the guy. Besides, there's no way women invented the friend zone. It's a fucking football metaphor.
Yeah.
I love this. I think so many, you always know the guys who are like, okay, well, she's not into me because this and that. And I got, you know.
It's very self-centered from a lot of men.
Right.
Because we're generally, like, women can be friends with men. Legitimately friends. I'm not sure men can be friends with women.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we just can't be friends.
We can be friends.
Well, yeah, but it can only go to a certain point.
Right.
And then it
you
gets
can be
weird.
A podcast guest and I can go on your show and, you know, we can see each other at Thundergoat.
Yeah.
That's fine.
But if we start texting after midnight, like,
right,
that becomes a thing.
Right.
Yeah. So it's like women, when we're friends with each other, we don't have to worry about that. It's nice. We can just, like, relax.
Mm-hmm.
But it's this, like, Mexican standoff with male friends. And I love all of them. But, yeah, just, you know.
We are just so, like, unbelievably horny. It's, like, the thought of what that means is so disgusting for women, I think.
Well, no, it's just, I hate disappointing people.
Right, right, right.
I wish I could fuck everybody. Honestly, I'm a humanitarian. I see someone in need, I want to help them.
Uh-huh.
But I can't, it's just not feasible. Right. The vagina is a limited resource. Uh-huh. You can wear that shit out. Plus, people
find
out. What
do you mean you can wear it out?
You can wear it out.
You can wear out your
vagina?
That's
what I've been told. Yeah, if you have too much sex, it just, like, porn star vagina. It just becomes a giant cave.
Yeah.
And nobody wants a cave. I have no idea if that's true. I mean, I think having a baby does that.
Right.
Which happens if you have too much sex.
Yeah, well, if you protect your sex, you don't have
right.
to have a baby drop out.
I've been on the pill since I was 17. Like, nothing is growing here.
Do you think you've, you know, rendered anything, never mind. You made a, you had another one on Reddit. Oh. I want to say about that, talking about the friend zone and, like, categorizing all this shit. Like, the pickup artist is, like, such propaganda for guys that, like, everyone has to go around in a feather boa and a fucking, and go like, hey, what's going on? I'm this asshole.
Does anyone
with goggles.
Still, does anyone still use the game?
Yeah, really? But, no, people, I have, I read it. You know, and it's a lot of it because I find it so hilarious that someone broke down like, okay, listen, like making it like every woman is like some kind of like word game that you can solve and then she'll give you her vagina.
We don't
it's
come
like,
off as very bright in that book.
Right. Yeah. He's like, no, a woman's brain has like three inputs. Okay. So you need to like turn this and. This dial, and then you're good, you know?
It wasn't like, one of the things, like, he made some woman incredibly wet just by doing magic tricks in front of
right.
her. That, and guys do that now. Some guys tried to run that on me before. And
oh, yeah, they brought in cards or something to a bar?
Yeah, and it's like, I've read the game. I know. This, I don't like your fedora. Go away. Like, give me something else.
One of my friends was at Fiddlesticks, which is a bar near my school, you know, in New York when I went to school and stuff. And he came in, and he was doing his stuff to all the girls, and they booed him out of the bar.
Good.
Because he, like, started to go like, hey, you're kind of stupid, but anyway, I'm awesome. So what do you think about this? Boom, and you've like made a flash paper go on fire.
The running negatives on women is the most misunderstood tactic in that book. Because all it's saying is
insult people, go around be an asshole, and then.
But that's not all. It's like you look at her and you go, "Oh, you have your eye shadows running, or there's something stuck in your teeth."
Right,
something where he's not obviously being an asshole, but it makes us feel like We need to win your approval.
The first level is you versus the girl. You are against that girl. It feels like a fight almost. You don't know the girl. You don't. I mean, she's gorgeous. We'll presume she's a 10 or a 9 or an 8. If you're so inclined to rating women, which, you know, I'd never do, personally. But if you were so inclined to rating them, the way you treat a 7 is different than the way you treat a 10. It is not harder to get a 10. I mean, a true godforsaken 10. It's only different. It takes just as long.
It's a very difficult thing to, like, know how to be a guy in the scenario. Because also, like, you know, you're raised from adolescence on, like, you know, whatever you can type into Google, you can see. Mm-hmm. You know, it's crazy. Anyway. Well, I can't possibly think of raising a kid unless I lived in a house in Maine with no electricity. I would just write flashcards for the kid to learn.
Yeah.
You know, how to be a doctor when he's 7 or whatever. Like, that's the only way to really raise a kid. And if you don't have $6 billion, don't have a fucking kid, man.
I hope this next generation having kids is better at raising them than our parents were.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I guess television was new to them. They didn't realize it was just all these random inputs that we're going to get without any supervision. And I think it's really fucked up a whole generation of people, because we all want to be on TV. Mm-hmm. It's like it raised us, so we all want to be with it.
Yeah.
We all want to be famous.
Yeah.
Why? Yeah. Why? Most people, if they were famous, would actually hate it. Yeah. They would. Most people who are famous hate it.
Yeah.
They don't just say that for attention. Like they don't go to rehab for fun or for your entertainment. Like, they're actually having problems.
It is. It's weird, you know, as a comedian, thinking that that's what the goal is.
Yeah.
It's just about being fulfilled by... you know, this morning I watched Comedians in Cars with Getting Coffee with Seinfeld and Louis C.K. And first of all, Seinfeld is the most pompous person right now. All it is,
like,
it goes from Seinfeld's 1952 Fiat, which probably cost $600,000. It looks like a golf cart, and because it's rare or whatever. And then he goes into Louis C.K.'s yacht. And, you know, they have a nice conversation, but it's like, they're just so content right now.
Yeah, Louis C.K.
They're so
I
love Louis C.K.
Yeah.
I love Louis C.K. And it's not, but I think that they're not realizing how, like, couldn't you guys invest a little bit more in the up-and-coming comedians instead of buying 1952 Fiats?
To be fair, I think Louis C.K. does that.
Yeah?
Like, he's very open, like, with his,
if I was
his
a
website
baller...
and selling his special. He gave most of the money away to, like, people who helped him produce it.
Yeah.
And I think Louis C.K., he bought the yacht, but he's talked about it on the radio where he's just like, he just wanted a fucking yacht, but, like, he's not going to be able to afford it forever.
Yeah.
You know, he knows it's temporary,
yeah,
but he just wanted a fucking yacht. He can't even afford it. So I hate... Seinfeld drives me crazy now. He
just seems so out of touch.
I didn't even really like him when he was a comedian.
I really like Seinfeld. The show Seinfeld, I love it.
The show
I hate
is great.
The laugh
Larry
track.
David is
the
hilarious.
Laugh track is makes it so obnoxious. But if I could get Seinfeld without the laugh track, I would love it. But it's obviously an incredibly brilliant, well-written show.
But what about his stand-up? Did you like his stand-up?
I think it's fine at the time.
Yeah.
The problem with Seinfeld is he never evolved for me. He never, like, talked against the man. He just kind of became it. He just seems a little out of touch with the working person. He doesn't really get what other people are going through at all.
Yeah, he talks about having his act, his set. It's very, like, old-timey vaudeville Catskills mentality.
I go into a place with two suits. I come out with a check. Blah, blah, blah. Fuck you. Like,
take my wife, please. Like, that's
basic.
So I hate it when I watch a comedian and by the end of it, I don't know anything more about them than I did from the start.
Yeah.
And Seinfeld's one of those guys.
He just tries to really have show business where you actually don't get to know him with any of his material, too.
And, yeah, I can't enjoy stand-up comedy.
He seems wealthy and creepily private.
Mm-hmm.
I love Jim Norton. He's one of my favorite comics because he just tells you about fucking banging trannies and shit. And he's like, talks about when he was 7, like, giving it, blowing his friend under a a fucking porch in Jersey or whatever. Like, that's the kind of crazy shit that, like, I really respect of how... And I think Seinfeld can't hold a candle to it because he doesn't say anything.
He's too image conscious.
Yeah.
Jim Norton, it's impressive because he is putting the art first and the success is following.
Yeah. So. And he doesn't care about his relationships, really. He always talks about, I was listening to Opie and Anthony this morning, and Jim Norton was like, yeah, all my relationships with women totally fail because when you put that much, when I talk about getting trannies or whatever, girls don't want to date me so much. But I think it's so much more important for him. He knows what he's doing as a comic is important, and you know, and he's the fucking greatest. Right, he's so legit.
He does it for more than just the attention, and the money or whatever. And those are the comics I like, the ones that see a deeper purpose to it, that we're actually trying to illuminate areas of darkness. Mm-hmm. That other people are too scared to approach.
And also, you say tranny to most people, and they're like, what? That's witchcraft, you know? It's like...
No, it's disgusting.
He's kind of like, explaining to people, like, you know, who really cares if anyone gets a hooker? Who really cares if that hooker is a tranny? Who cares? But it's still illegal, and it's this underworld that, you know what I mean?
Everyone's life is really fucked up. Like, if we were all completely honest with each other, it would be horrifying. Yeah. It emboldens me to see him do that. Yeah, it just made me be able to be more open about what's going on in my life.
And he's making people laugh about it instead of being some victim in some victim society going, ugh, I'm going to name my baby, ugh. Some doctor tricked me in the 60s. Some wild doctor on Wacky Tobacky tricked me and said, you should get an abortion, lady. And so I said, what? He's like, this baby's going to ruin your whole life.
Yeah, everyone wants to be redeemed at the end. Everyone's the hero somehow. You know, even if they have to just make up a story like Jesus to... Well, because those people, they're like stars in this play where none of you and I aren't in this, but you know, it's this battle between good and evil, and then the rapture, and they're going to be rewarded, and I guess we're fucked, and that makes them happy, which makes them as petty as every other person.
Yeah, and judgmental, and the biggest thing about Christians, and what, you know, when you learn the Bible or whatever, like I was Catholic growing up, and the biggest thing is like, turn the other cheek and don't judge. And, like, you can't possibly understand what the greater intention of God is, but here's some rules. But all they're doing is, like, the Puritans are burning each other for being witches, you know? And so, and really that was just pussy power because it was all these 17 and 16-year-old girls going, oh, I seen him do witchcraft. And they were like, this old judge just wanted to appease these young hot girls so that, you know, maybe he would have a chance with them. And he slammed his gavel and went, you're a witch.
They're so bored back then. Yeah. Like, it's probably just entertaining.
Yeah.
Every so often, the old lady at the edge of town who doesn't fit in with anybody and they're worried her evil eye is cursing them. Just kill her.
Yeah.
Be done with it.
Yeah.
Everyone feels better.
This good grumpy old broad ain't giving anybody at the edge of town. She's just like strangling a cat. Nobody knows what she's doing in that shed.
Right. You know, it's better than just sitting around with your dick in your hand.
Yeah, they just like a public lynching for, you know.
Yeah.
Give them something to talk about in town.
I think Christians, I don't mind that they have a belief system that makes them feel better. Ultimately, that's what all of us do.
Right.
It's just that they try to enforce it on other people because it's not enough that they know they're saved. They want us to know they're saved, too.
Right.
Which is bizarre to me.
And I just see it as, like, okay, like, cutting a Bible, like, the book, and into, like, glasses. And you're just, and one of the, your right eye has, like, black over it, and your white eye is white over it. And it's like, everything is good and evil, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, you're just looking through those goggles instead of actually looking at the complexity of each social situation or whatever. You can boil everything down to Satan's tricks or...
How about this? I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, like that, people need to be more comfortable with that, and they need to be able to admit that that's what's happening instead of trying to just guess some bullshit, and if you sound confident enough, everyone's going to go with you because they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I think Christianity tries to act like there are answers to all of these questions when there just aren't.
When they're a bureaucracy on, like, the actual answers. Mm-hmm. And also, I say this all the time, like, I talked to this guy, Mark Briscoe, on my podcast when I was in Roswell, New Mexico, and Mark Briscoe is the head of the UFO Research Center.
Our library is classified as the second largest in the world pertaining to UFO phenomenon, crop circles, abductions. We have over 56,000 individual pieces in the library. When we started off with 20 books and 12 periodicals, so we've really acquired quite a bit. The only one that has more than us in one area is the Vatican.
Right.
And we do have a direct contact with the Vatican, and we share information back and forth.
Wow, that's interesting. So what is he's the Vatican librarian, and you guys have a correspondence?
Well, I have many librarians.
I don't think a lot of people know about the Vatican's involvement in UFO research.
Well, they recently came out and told their parishioners it's all right to believe in E.T. Mm-hmm. You know, if you believe that God's a creator of heaven and earth.
But then they started a massive undertaking, it sounds, to archive, you know.
Oh, they've been doing this forever. There's paintings hanging in the Vatican that are dated before Christ that have UFOs and flying saucers in the paintings themselves.
So it seems like the Vatican is like, just in case, you know, Jesus ain't real and the aliens are, they got that covered first. Like, they're kind of hedging their bets because on whatever. If Jesus or fucking Xenu comes down, like, they'll got it covered.
Yeah. That's what it comes down to. Like, if some other deity showed up tomorrow and was like, oh, no, actually, I'm Vishnu and I'm in charge of everything and here's proof. And
I'm a fish god. Blah, blah, blah.
And it turns out the Hindus are right.
Yeah. Yeah, Vishnu just comes out with a giant fish head and crazy buff arms. Like, Jesus Christ, that's fucking Vishnu, man.
Yeah.
He's in charge.
People would start saying Vishnu Christ, not Jesus. Like, it would be so just, fast.
Yeah, the Vatican would, like, put out a memo, like, oh, yeah, also Vishnu's pretty important, I guess. And normally, like, they'll try to, like, make, like, a newer testament. Everyone would have to answer for fucking Vishnu. Nobody saw that guy coming.
It's as likely as the God story.
Right.
Both equally likely as far as I'm concerned.
So here's another one of your memes. A teenage kid got arrested for a terrorist threat on League of Nations. The post was, I'm going to go shoot up a school full of kids and eat their still beating hearts, yeah. LOL JK. I can't believe anyone's taking this seriously. LOL JK used to mean something.
Yeah. No, that story I found particularly horrifying.
Yeah.
Because that's a straight free speech, like, political arrest right there.
Yeah.
People, their brains short circuit when you throw in, oh, yeah, your kids might die. And suddenly they're okay with this kind of shit happening.
Yeah, then it's like, yeah, he's a terrorist. Lock him up.
Right.
I used to piss off my younger brother all the time growing up. Probably when he was, in middle school or whatever. And he would give me the speech about once a week. Eric, when I am 18, I will walk into a gun store. I will buy a gun. I will I will buy a case of bullets. And I will shoot you in the head. Because I'm so, you know, and I got the speech. Very, very specific details.
Yes.
And he was not arrested. And you know why? Because he's an adolescent and his brain doesn't know how to make use of the words that he's given to express himself.
Right.
He's still, like, word jumbled up trying to figure out how to be an adult.
Mm-hmm.
We can't arrest this person for the rest of his life because he's a terrorist, because he says on some chat room. So the corporations give him a game so he can, like, learn how to be, like, a blue seal and, like, cut people's throats,
murder,
and stuff like that.
Straight up murder.
That's fine for him to have. And one of the missions is to saw a pregnant woman in half to get information from her.
Jesus.
That's all fine. I'm just going to make that up. I made that up. But I play a lot of video games with my buddy Devin Murphy, and the missions you go on are fucking crazy. And they're war crimes. They're Dick Cheney's, like,
war crimes.
What Dick Cheney and Rumsfeld, like, rub one out to, these reports coming from drone murders that are happening. Anyway,
does anyone follow the Geneva Convention? Do we even bring it up anymore? I haven't heard any. Like, there's no. We only follow it when it's nice to, and when we agree with it.
Yeah.
There's no law. There's no justice.
Yeah.
It's just a bunch of princes fighting each other.
Princes?
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, what is with this thing where, like, on a chat room where he's cutting people up, he can't say, oh, I'm gonna go in a class. He's playing with all of his classmates, this incredibly right. graphic video game.
Yeah, I think in that case, this was right after Sandy Hook, mm-hmm. which people, that's just little kids, you know, like, pretty much the worst scenario you can imagine. I wonder if, because people have to still be saying this, I wonder if they're still getting arrested for it, or if people just forget. You know, yeah. So it's like, we only think these things are dangerous when it's near some other dangerous thing that happened, when there's no reason, like, why would a terrorist try to use a shoe bomb again? Like, we know about yeah. it.
You know what's kind of terrifying is, I the more I look about what the news is, you know how film festivals are like, they're like a festival of celebrating these artists, right? The news is like a festival of violence.
Yes.
You know, that's, they're like, what we love is like public lynchings, but because we can't like do the puritanical thing, we'll just give you infotainment about shoe bombers around the world, you know, mm-hmm. and how this person, it's like, I think that there would be so much less murder if it wasn't like glamorized like this.
Right.
You know?
Like the thing with Saddam, when we captured Saddam and the picture of him in a fucking hole. Was just mean spirited. Yeah. Like, that was very bloodlusty.
Yeah, we could have absolutely
war hungry.
We don't want this guy talking and saying all his dealings with the CIA, you know, informants. He's been, you know, that have been trying to pressure him into buying nuclear war or whatever the fuck they're trying to do.
Yeah,
they don't want him talking, so they fucking chop his head off in a cave.
He's fucking dead. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like what we did to Bin Laden, which I'm glad he's dead, but like. If you hear the details of the story, it's right. actually pretty horrifying.
I think he was probably dead like 60 years ago, and they just took his frozen body out of a fridge somewhere and shot it out of the lake.
It was weird they didn't show a picture of the body. I was surprised by that, because they showed us Saddam. Right. So why not this guy?
I don't know.
It's very suspicious. That's the only like, conspiracy theory I kind of, like, I don't mm-hmm. know. It just makes no sense to me why they wouldn't have shown it.
Now we have drones, okay? That's been well established. But in World War II, when they were trying to work on drone and bomb technology, they had cat-guided bombs during World War II.
Cat-guided?
Yeah. So they thought, hey, you know what's pretty good at grabbing a ball of yarn when you throw it in the air? A cat? That could probably guide a bomb to hit a target that they wanted. So
very graceful.
They had this research thing where the problem was when they started dropping the cats out of the airplane attached to a bomb, that they would often pass out when they were hurling toward the ground.
Wait, are you serious? Did this happen?
Yeah. During World War II, they were trying to have bombs that could, you know, be guided.
They're just murdering cats.
So they put a cat in the front of it.
They're just
like with a windshield. Like
with a windshield?
And a helmet or whatever.
Well, the cat's going to explode when the bomb goes off, right?
Well, yeah, but they thought it could scratch its way to a little knob. Like they put like probably a joystick in front of it and they're like trying to hit that thing. But the cat would just pass out when it was being dropped.
Yeah, fucking lazy cats. They just don't want it enough.
You know, the cats don't want to murder the children as much as, like, the drones do, so.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, our government's done some really fucked up things, and we only hear about it 50 years later because that's when it's declassified.
Yeah.
Like, the CIA tried to give Fidel Castro LSD in one of his cigars, and it failed.
Yeah,
that was a plan they had.
Yeah. Wow, I think that the CIA operatives, when you hear some of their missions, it's like, are you guys all fucking on drugs? Because they'll be like, okay, so a monkey is going to go down the rail, and then he's going to pick up LSD. He's going to drive it. It's going to put it in an enema that Gandhi's going to stick up Fidel's ass. You know, Gandhi loves enemas. Fidel, like, okay, so then it's like, what is going on in there? Why are you going to put LSD in a cigar? Why don't you shoot him in the head if you don't like him? Or what do you, you know?
Yeah, we should not be too clever. And I think we've learned that lesson, and now we're just murdering people.
Yeah.
You know, just get to the point.
They're just trying to make it look like a suicide somehow, and it can't look like that when it's going down a motorcade or whatever.
Yeah.
So you're trying to make it like, in a bizarre cigar exploding accident, Fidel Castro lost his head. Yeah. It's perfectly normal. This is obviously suicide. I don't know. It's hard to know who put the bomb in the cigar, though, I guess.
I know, sneaky. So you know, but you don't know. Yeah. It's like they had to dig up Yasser Arafat's body because they thought he might have been poisoned by polonium because they found it on his clothes. And it turns out he wasn't.
He was just visiting the polonium factory.
He died of other things. Yeah.
I also heard that, when a Bush or, any diplomat is visiting another country to do, they will take all his shit and sequester it. Because if his adversary gets a hold of, President Obama's shit, he could go, oh, he's got cirrhosis or something, doctor, and that's information that they can use against him. So they, put all the shit in boxes with dates and,
There must be so much security around our president, around Obama especially.
And
he's got food tasters, an old king.
Some of that could be, maybe reinvested into the country that he runs. I don't know. No, let's have people put his shit in fucking boxes. That's more important than feeding the hungry. Anyway, so NSA leaders split on giving amnesty to Snowden. CBS News learned Thursday that the NSA leaker Snowden has revealed so far just a fraction of what he has.
Awesome.
That's what all these guys do to protect themselves. Mm-hmm. They'll put out really bad shit and they'll go, you don't want to chop my head off because then worse shit's going to come out.
Right.
You have to make it, you have to put the monster, that the vampire that runs this country, this giant octopus bureaucrat in double jeopardy. So, it's worse if you're dead.
And he might be bluffing, though I guess we must have some information that leads us to believe he's not.
So now he's in Sweden or whatever, right? And taking amnesty? Where is he?
Oh, I thought he was in Russia.
Oh, he's in Russia.
He's
still
in Russia.
Yeah, so now he's in Russia, he's getting amnesty because Russia loves it because it makes the U.S. look bad.
Yeah.
And
then all of a sudden, when they did that, all of a sudden we hated Russia because they hated gay people and their Olympics are going to be there and we're all mad at them now.
Yeah,
the same exact time.
Yeah.
Suddenly, fuck Russia.
Yeah. So, I don't know. But it just seems to me that it's just, this is a, they're like, oh, maybe we'll give them amnesty, but we really want to, put him in solitary confinement and torture him in some Raytheon underground base. But.
Right.
By the,
Bradley Manning.
Yeah, Bradley Manning, until he goes crazy. But should we give him amnesty? Or, the whole problem is that whoever's making this decision should have been shot. His grandfather, who has run the country, should have been shot in the head in a revolution. But for some reason, this cabal keeps itself in power generation after generation,
I love it. He must have really gotten to them to have invited this kind of shitstorm.
Yeah.
I think if I were Edward Snowden, even if they gave me amnesty here, I wouldn't come back.
Yeah.
It's not safe for him here.
Yeah. Because, no matter what, America keeps all of his contracts. Why don't you ask the Indians about that?
Right, yeah. Yeah, or make it look like an accident, with the Fast and the Furious guy.
Yeah.
Very suspicious.
Mm.
Very suspicious.
Maybe his OnStar can just cut his brakes at any time. Or his cigar will explode. That happens. That happens. Or he got LSD in some cigar that a monkey put up his ass. Who knows what the fucking CAA's got in store for him. Anyway, China school teaches kung fu to fight against air pollution. So a primary school in China started teaching its kids kung fu as a form of self-defense against air pollution. This reminds me of the Boxer Rebellion.
At the turn of the 20th century, a strange ritual calculated to recruit a peasant army is staged in countless villages across northern China. They are, they claim, impervious to swords and gunfire. Skeptics insist that the guns are weak or that only blanks are fired. But the villagers are told that these men, members of the Boxers United in Righteousness, are possessed by powerful gods. Many join the Boxers in the belief that they too will become invincible.
This is very sad to me because the problem clearly is corporations and air pollution, right? That seems to be the chief issue, but let's teach them kung fu to combat.
This is China we're talking about, right? Yeah, you think our government is repressive. Theirs is ridiculous. So I just bet nobody there knows that it's because China is just one of the biggest polluters right now.
Yeah.
So they're doing their best, but it's ignorant because they don't know.
And the problem is, like, you know, if you pollute in China, eventually that's pollution everywhere, you know? So, if the EPA has safeguards where it just makes business more expensive, there just needs to be a massive overhaul where we just understand that we can't pollute and then, you know, only use technologies. Because, yeah, you can go to a dollar store and get a bunch of cheap shit from China for a dollar, but it's not worth it.
No. We've been kicking the can down the road for the last 100 years, yeah. Like, since the Industrial Revolution. And I hope... Part of me, the optimist in me, hopes there's a team of very intelligent people working on this problem right now. They just haven't come up with the solution, and when they have it, we'll switch over. Like, once the deals have been made and then the big guy players are set up to profit.
Right.
That'll happen.
Once you grease the Italians, because they love grease. Hey!
I'd like to think that's happening. It probably isn't. Mm-hmm. It'll take some massive disaster for people to change their minds.
I think that, I don't know, I'm kind of maybe have weird political views on this, because I think that, you know, like, there are free energy technologies that we don't have access to because they have this, you know, they want to base the economy on gas running, you know, so,
yeah,
because they own that, and they got that on lockdown.
It's very, very expensive to switch, and risky to switch, and a lot of them, they're like, I'll be dead by the time this matters, and at least... the rapture will save the rest of my family. So fuck it.
Yeah. I got Jesus, man. Doesn't matter what happens to this. Oh, so other Chinese people are sticking, you know, cigarettes have filters on them.
Mm-hmm.
So they're ripping the filters off and they're sticking the filters in their nose to prevent air pollution in China.
Oh, wow. They are enterprising. Yeah.
That's another, you know.
Go getters.
So in England, there are more atheists. Okay, so they don't have a god to tell their kid, hey, be good, because there's a man upstairs who's watching you, you know, at all times. So British parents don't have this, but what they do have is Santa, you know, and they want to be good so that Santa will give them a lot of presents at the end of the year, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this thing called Elf on the Shelf, and what they have is this little elf that they tell the kid, hey, look, that elf gives Santa like 6 emails a day about your behavior, so you might want to behave because this guy's watching you. That's terrifying for me.
Does it work?
There's a Margaret Nichols, who's a clinical psychologist, says, I don't think that's a good strategy. The parents should be in charge of authority of the house, not some elf that they make up and, you know, saying it just puts superstitions in kids' heads.
Yeah, what do they do when it turns out they're going to find out the elf was a fake and they're not going to believe in God? Isn't that just going to create people who are like, oh, I can do whatever I want?
No, let's just lie. Let's just lie.
Yeah, that's why I don't like Santa.
Yeah.
I think it ruins parents' credibility. I was very upset when I found out, just because, like, the straight up look, they looked in my face and lied to me. They took me to a stranger dressed as this person and said it was him and framed the picture.
It is quite elaborate.
Yes.
You know, all the parents who are in this thing.
And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, the jig is up. It's over. And like, oh, well, Christmas just sucks now. What else have they lied about?
I mean, imagine, like, all the kids with, like, iPad tablets can just, like, Google, like, is Santa real? And then just see all this stuff.
Because, you know, like, on Fox News, they had that thing about the white Santa, and Megyn Kelly kept saying, like, to any kids watching this, Santa's real, blah, blah.
And he's white!
And he's white.
Yeah.
I wonder, because you can pay Google to prioritize some hits over others. So maybe it's set up so if you look it up, it's the websites are the ones that say Santa does exist.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm going to look that up when I get home, because that seems like it. Maybe when you have parental controls on, it directs them to the Santa exists.
You have to click to, like, the fifth circle to get the scoop on Santa taking his beard off at the mall, you know? So this lady, this black lady, right, she's wearing furs. She's very, and she starts dancing in front of a apartment complex for 90 minutes.
Wait, where was this?
Okay, so this is in Brooklyn.
Okay.
So a woman was twerking in front of an apartment building for 90 minutes.
Oof,
then she went, and she's on camera, okay? Then she went in and robbed the place. right? So she's on security camera, like, oh yeah, twerking and like shit that she stole from the previous apartment complex. She's got to be on meth, right?
Yeah.
But then, oh yeah, and they went in and just stole all their shit, you know?
Oh my God.
But then she got busted because, you know, she's on camera twerking. That's a lot of evidence of how the person looks when they twerk in front of the camera.
Oh, somewhere. Yeah, they get the butt imprint. Yeah, it's like in football games, you're not allowed to celebrate anymore. Just
right,
smart.
Right, right.
Don't waste your time celebrating. I am the prize.
You save your energy.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that. Yeah, she must have been high on something. Because I don't... Like, twerking for 90 minutes is really hard. I can't twerk for 90 seconds. So she was on speed or something.
I just love the exuberance of that. Like, you're such, like, a joyful thief. Like, oh, yeah, I'm gonna take all your shit. Oh, yeah! Just, like, with an iPod, like, ah! And then does it.
Oh, my God.
What a ball. I really admire the ballsiness of that.
Yeah, there's a swagger to it.
Yeah.
You know, she seems like a very happy woman.
She did that in style. She was wearing furs as she was thieving. It's great. What a great character.
Yeah, I mean, she's freer than the rest of us.
You know, and we were complaining about how, you know, like, the Wolf of Wall Street is, like, glamorizing this, like, thievery, you know. But, you know, why not? We just, it's like, we just kind of always kind of root for the degenerate for some reason.
We like it when people break the rules and get away with it.
Yeah.
You know?
Because the rules are so oppressive, you know?
Mm-hmm. The rules are set up to benefit whoever's in charge already.
Of all
so
the rules, yeah.
There's a little bit of a, like, the Edward Snowden thing. It's just such a cathartic, like, yes, it's possible to get to you guys still, mm-hmm. even now.
So, you got some shows coming up, Kate Gary. Where can people see you do stand-up?
Well, I'm going to headline at Aces Comedy Club in Murrieta, California, 8 o'clock on Thursday, February 6th.
Wow.
You can see the whole shebang, whole 40 minutes of me and my nonsense in Murrieta. I don't know where Murrieta is exactly, but...
You'll be sure to Google map it the day you of the show and drive out there.
Yeah, so I invite everyone else to do that on Thursday, February 6th.
Awesome.
8 o'clock.
And also you got the Power Couples podcast.
Yes,
Robert Tran.
Watch out for the return of the Power Couples podcast, PCP podcast on Twitter.
It left with such a cliffhanger. Like, is this relationship going to work out? You know, a lot of fighting going on. So,
and who knows what could happen between me talking about it now and when we actually do it. So.
Dun, dun, dun. Also, click through the Amazon link. Get your shit on Amazon through the Highway Diary RSS feed. Every fucking podcast worships the same alien gorilla called Amazon.com who you know, we all have to pay worship to and homage.
They have drones too.
They're working on drone delivering technology that might accidentally drop something and it becomes blue ice as it hurtles through your fucking window at night. Also, there's a like Colorado, like people are allowed to shoot at drones.
Really?
Because the gun-toting public are really scared of drones in general, like, you know, Skynet going through and murdering everybody. So in that scenario, they made it legal to shoot at drones. Anyway, and they have weed,
sweet.
So they get a little paranoid.
Oh, my sweet. I'm going to go to Colorado.
Also, Here Comes Godot. I've been talking about this a lot. It's a web series. That drops in February, probably around February 15th. We don't have an exact date. But we're probably just going to upload all of them at once, 16 episodes of this thing called Here Comes Godot. And May, this thing called Theater of the Deranged 2 comes out. It's a DVD of, it's a movie about, you know, it's a lot of short films, horror films put together by James Cullen Brusick and his friends. And I host it as this character called Damien Shadows. So, anyway, Theater of the Deranged 2, it's really funny. That comes out in May 2014. But, Kate Gary, it has been an absolute pleasure. You're a very classy lady.
Thank you.
This has been a great podcast. So, that's another episode of the Highway Diary in the motherfucking bag. Thanks to my guest, Kate Gary.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And shout out to comedyfilter.com.
They're a big website. They're always, you know, putting the best talent on there. All right. Later.